After Buzzers, thank you so much for tuning into our finale Unreal After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are going to be breaking down Season 2, Episode 10, titled Friendly Fire. Tune in, because we have a very special guest on the couch that you will definitely not want to miss.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Very appropriate, I think, for this episode and for our special guest. Hello, After Buzzers. Thank you again for tuning into our Unreal After Show. I'm Sam Davidson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at SamD43. Before we announce our special guest here on the couch, my ladies for the finale, tell us again who you are and where we can find you online.
Hey guys, I'm Renee Ariel, and you can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at Renee Ariel.
Hello everyone, I am Abby Vega. You can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at underscore Abby Vega.
And I'm Lucretia Lyons. You guys can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
And if you guys follow us, you do know who our guest is, of course, Mr. Michael Brady. Woo! Oh, Coleman.
Don't make that face. What's that face for? What
was that? Worried about you.
I know. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, kind of. Thank you.
Like, are you really?
Okay, let's get into it.
Coleman sucks.
I've been a fan. So if you were to hear kind of our conversations this whole season about Coleman, you'd be very interested because, you know, Renee the whole time, you know, said he's bad news.
Really?
Yes. Because, really? And look. You were bad news.
Look at that. Good. Okay.
And all I right. said you were the hot kind of crazy until you had sex with hot Rachel.
Still, yeah. I'll take it. That's good.
And then last week, I was still kind of thinking that you might be good.
Yeah. And so I was like, I don't know, guys.
Yeah. He's not that bad.
We're like, Abby.
I try to see the best in people.
And Abby, I've always loved that about you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I agree. It was hard to not like you at the beginning, even though it's, you know, you knew that you were on the show for a reason to probably, like, tear Quinn and Rachel apart, which you did, and then they got back together, and then you might have died, so I wouldn't get in between those two again, you know?
Yeah, bad news.
Lesson learned, right? Yeah.
Well, what has this experience been like for you? Because you're a new character on the show, but you also aren't one of the contestants that's kind of in and out, you know, throughout the season.
Yeah. Which made it especially fun because all of my... I was with Shiri and with Constance for so much of my work on the show, which was really, really tremendous to have the bulk of my work with them. Going toe-to-toe with Constance and Shiri. Wow.
I read an article that, like, your first day, you, like, walked in and were, like, kind of starstruck or something, right?
Guys, was I feel like so surreal. Yeah. Season one blew me away. And then first day on set, first scene up, the whole bullpen and me. And there's Quinn and there's Rachel and there's Chad. Oh, my gosh.
You're like, what are they
but what
do?
Put me over the edge was Madison, because everyone had to introduce themselves in character in the scene. And then Madison came up. Hi, I'm Madison. I can't hear a word you say, and I love you. Madison.
Yeah, we
we're
love
rolling.
Her.
It's this we're shooting. Yeah, it was awfully distracting, but exciting. I geeked out. Yep. She's hilarious.
Yeah, we had her here last week.
Oh, you did? Yeah, oh, spectacular. Okay, yeah. Did she tell you how her originally she had like she was essentially an extra?
Yeah,
with one line. Okay,
that's awesome because we love her. She's one of our favorite characters
She's
this season. So.
Funny.
So.
To go from a one-line extra to almost an archetype.
I know.
Tremendous.
It's great.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So let's get into this episode a little bit.
Let's talk.
Oh, my God, guys. I loved it, first of all. First and foremost. Totally obsessed with it. I think you guys felt the same way, right?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It was everything I wanted to be and more. I really liked it.
I was saying, because you know how we have a group text, and I watched it after all you. So I get these texts just saying, it's crazy. It's so crazy. I'm like, I haven't watched yet. So the whole time, though, I was watching kind of anxious, And then all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, there's only 10 minutes left. It's coming. It's coming. Something big's coming. Then all of a sudden, there's only 4 minutes left. So then I brace myself because I go, it really has to be coming now. And then it happened. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, for the tone to switch so much from everything just happening so quickly to this episode kind of drawing it out longer, that almost made the anticipation more. That's a Rocky Horror thing.
Nerd.
I know who I am.
So when you came into the show, I guess one of my biggest questions, though, is did you know where your character was going, like from first episode to episode 10, that you might die or that you were going to be turned into this villainous character?
I truly had no idea. I knew I was, at the very start, I knew I was there. I knew I was a nice guy. They said, Coleman's, he's just a really nice guy. He comes from good stock, well-educated. He's a good guy, though. Okay, great. But in the same breath, they said, oh, Coleman, though. Oh, Coleman. I said, well, what does that mean? They said, we're not going to tell you. But I'm a nice guy? Yeah, you're a nice guy. Okay. And then a few episodes in, I'm like, okay, guys, I'm definitely here to drive a wedge between Constance and between Quinn and Rachel, right? Yes, you're here. It's a love triangle this season, and it's between you three. Okay. But I'm a good guy? Yeah, you're a good guy. You're a good guy. Okay. And a couple more episodes later, everyone's coming up to me on set going, Coleman's a dick, man. You're a dick. And I'm so deeply rooted in his goodness now that I was really taken aback by it. And I wasn't living in the world of, that's right, he's a dick. It's so fun. No, I was still, no, he's not. No. And by the end, shooting that scene with Shiri that was in the episode last night, where it's like,
oh my gosh,
I win. We had a lot going on that day, just in our personal lives. She had a lot going on, I had a lot going on, and so we weren't talking a lot like we normally do. And so we went in to do that scene, and I felt so horrible when I got off stage and they called cut. She was spectacular. She's always spectacular, so it was really, you know, hitting her, and I just felt. Oh, I felt so bad with the whole mic drop. I
oh. It wasn't a little bit fun?
No, it was. It was. It was when he said cut, and I was like, back to me again, and she was still like kind of wounded. But, oh, God. Oh.
It was a great scene, though.
Ooh, that was a fun
one. It was a good one. It was very intense.
And to me, it does seem like you played Coleman like he was sort of like how people write villains, as the hero of his own story. Like you said, you're playing him as a good guy. And I feel like even until the end, he thought he was doing the right thing.
Yeah, you're going to have to convince me otherwise, actually.
Yeah. No, I agree with that, too.
Yeah, I do too, because I think it's interesting the writers told you that, because I think that Coleman legitimately thinks that up until he slept with Hot Rachel, like, that's just where it all, like, went awry. Up until then, I really feel like he felt what he was doing was helping Rachel, and that he really cared about her, but he was just as crazy, if not crazier, I think, than she was at the end of the day.
No. As crazy as Rachel? Really?
In a sociopathic internal way. Like, he was creating, you know, all of these situations that he was convincing himself were good and were going to be okay. It takes it a little far.
It threw me for a loop when I found out his documentary was a fake.
Yes.
I'm like, what?
I know.
Never saw that coming.
Can't trust him.
I mean, he's an opportunist at the end of the day. I think he knows a good opportunity when he sees one. I do think he did care for Rachel. I do think he tried to. I think he tried to throw her a life raft and say it doesn't have to go down this way. This was really messed up. It can be her or us here. It doesn't have to be us. We can do this. And then she, you know, her allegiance to Quinn, of course, and so she chose Quinn. And I think he thought what they had was kind of. Rooted in something real, and so that stung a lot, and so he just started driving stakes into everything after that.
I thought he cared for Rachel too. I said that last week. I was like, I think the feelings there are real.
Renee's got a face.
Renee did not think so at all.
Cared about her to an extent, and like, when I say that, I mean take that with a grain of salt, because when she got right out of the
facility.
Yeah, the facility, yeah. Wherever she was. But she was all drugged up, and the first thing Coleman does, sits her on a couch while she's all drugged up and tapes her, admitting all of these things that could get her arrested. That's not what you do to someone you care about. If you really wanted to work together, you would have waited until she was not all drugged up on whatever she was on and talked to her, had a real adult conversation. You took advantage of the situation.
She's mad at you.
Sorry, Michael.
Okay, we're back. Sorry.
But I feel like definitely took advantage of the situation with Rachel.
Yeah.
And also with a hot Rachel? Like, what? That was not what you do when you care about someone at all.
He yeah. He's upset.
Yeah. Well, okay, well, let me ask you. Do you think, how invested was Rachel in Coleman?
I think she's delusional and needs to be alone for a long time.
Thank you. Yes, agreed.
She thought she was in love or whatever because she gets a little crazy and like a super, she sees this fairy tale ending is somewhere deep down there because she all of a sudden like only focuses on Coleman.
Sure.
It got to that point.
Yeah.
However, we know she's a psycho. Like she's a psycho. She's a sociopath. It was never going to work out. However, like, you pursued her as well. Well, I'm sorry, you're not directing me.
It's okay. No.
Let it all out.
I make the distinction inside, so you throw it at me, and then I'll cut it up inside. It's okay.
But your character, like, pursued her also. Like, it wasn't, mm-hmm. like, she was just pursuing you, and then eventually you gave in. You were pursuing someone who was a psychopath.
Yeah, didn't quite know she was a psychopath in the beginning. But
sociopath, yeah. I think that's what sociopath. You call her, at least. Right?
I was using your nomenclature. That's all I was just repeating. Yeah, I think he found himself in this world. He needed to strike alliances early on, and so Quinn was clearly not going to be that person. Chet's a buffoon. Rachel's beautiful and cool and fun, and we have similar interests career-wise, so the obvious alliance to strike up, and there was a little bit of flirty-flirty, and what do you do with a little bit of flirty-flirty? That builds,
history.
Right? And the
exactly.
rest is history.
Eventually it ends in death.
And we're in a ditch. Yeah. Exactly.
And as I say, it's just always been a Dobler versus Dahmer effect, and for those of you who don't watch How I Met Your Mother, that's Lloyd Dobler, John Cusack's character in Say Anything, where he's crazy, he puts a boombox outside of a girl's window, or say Jeffrey Dahmer, who cut up people, and I won't explain the rest. But yeah, and it's really just about how it's received as the crazy, with Rachel and Coleman. There's a little bit of insanity with both, but then for a while we thought Coleman's crazy was sweet, and then it turned deadly.
Okay, I want to shift the perspective wheel a little bit here, and let's remember the world of Everlasting we're talking about, and who we're the people we're rooting for aren't. Okay.
They're awful.
They're awful people.
Yeah, they're evil.
Okay. Okay. I just wanted to remind.
This is a dystopia that we're living in, which is Everlasting. And I mean, we've committed to this dystopia. We are
we're rooting for these people.
We love their kind of crazy.
Team Quinn. Team Quinn. For a reason. Yeah.
Team Quinn, Team Rachel, and then Money Dick Power Guys. Yeah. Again,
it's
thank
the
you.
Mantra.
Yeah. Isn't it kind of crazy, though, how the show does get you to, like, be obsessed and, like, rooting for these
terrible! It's genius. Yeah. It's genius. Yeah. And it's a huge... Quinn and... Or just Constance and Shiri, the fact that you can root for them after the things they do.
Yeah.
It's spectacular.
Because your character clearly did not do anything even remotely as bad.
No.
Oh, he actually didn't do anything bad except for to the bad person. So that's why we don't like him.
Exactly. That was the... Exactly. Yeah. But thank you for articulating it much better than I did.
We could debate about this forever.
And we will. So let's go.
Well, listen, all I have to say is that I'm glad that we could get some of our feelings out to you, before we really
start. At me.
It was a really good session, I think.
Apologize for Renee. She's going to see her therapist tomorrow.
Me too after that.
Okay, well, so Coleman, security gets called on him. I love the beginning scene with Rachel when he's like, hey, babe. And then it's like, boom, 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 boom. Take all your stuff. Bye. And then Quinn says what you reiterate at the end for a callback.
I win.
I win.
Oh, I wanted to slap her when she said that. But it was great. It was great. That was such a great moment.
Yeah. I knew it was going to come back, too, because I was like, oh, Quinn, don't get so cocky. Don't say that. It's like you're jinxing it.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
First scene, Quinn. Don't say it yet.
Don't say it yet.
I love that line, though.
It was, you know, it was a crazy ride with all of you. And then Jay really shined this episode.
Ooh,
I
thought.
He's been so good
he's
the whole
been
season.
Just, yeah. He's been aces this season.
He's been the moral compass, that character. He's the only, I swear, like, good person in the show.
But he's
like,
still there, which yeah. is the, yeah, the that there. Dark area. Mm-hmm. Why
That's
are you
true.
Here?
That is true.
Walk
yeah,
away.
He did watch Ruby and Darius have sex. That's a little creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. Yeah.
He's doing it for the money.
Yes.
Yeah. He is, but then I
but
guess,
he got his happy ending.
Well, yeah. When he realizes that he has to split the money with Madison, he's like, you know, screw this. Like, I'm just gonna do what I think is right, because he is really the only African-American person that's part of the production of it, and he feels as though he has his responsibility, kind mm-hmm. of. And yes, what they put Darius through? Awful.
For Darius. Oh my gosh.
But we did call Darius was gonna be a good guy. He was, compared to Adam last season.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He kind of stuck with that the whole season.
Yeah, to me, Darius didn't do anything to compromise himself at Mm-mm, all. No. Like, you know, because even when he did a little bit of questionable things, he was questioning it.
Yeah. Darius is a good guy.
And I'm happy he, like, got his happy ending. I did not think that they would bring Ruby back for a happy ending like that. Because of what the show is. I mean, the show, like, one bad thing happens after another. So, like, they're not going to end it with, like, a romantic, like, coupling of these characters we love together from the beginning.
And isn't it sad that I'm the one that predicted the happy ending, considering how dark I am?
Wow.
You guys, can you, because I texted you immediately after, you know when you have a weird dream and you wake up and you're like, I just need to, like, talk to somebody about this because it was kind of upsetting? Well, I had a dream about the Unreal finale, and I was, like, in it. I was there and like, kind of
I love
this,
you guys.
Like, we're crazy. I was kind of this, you know, character that was, like, a fly on the wall, and what happened in my dream was that Darius left both the girls at the altar, and then they called Ruby for her to come and, like, for them to get back together, and they were going to have a reuniting coffee, and they were going to tape it. Then on the way, Ruby gets bitten by a killer dog and only has one
day
to live.
We're in the dream now. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. For a second, I forgot. I was like, this is a great version.
Yeah, no, then she just has one day to live, and
this is the alternate ending.
Yeah, it's like a specific kind of dog that bites you, that it's like, oh, you're going to die tomorrow. And
that'd be rough.
Yeah,
no pun intended.
So instead of breaking Darius's heart, she's just like, I'm not into you, and this is just for publicity. And then he was sad, and then she, like, went off and died. And I woke up, and I was pretty disturbed by the whole thing.
We're here for you. Yeah. We're here. That, none of that happened. I did love how she said, no, I'm not going to marry you.
Yeah.
So realistic.
Me too.
Because it was great.
It makes sense. Because that's, like, the biggest thing, too, on, like, these dating shows. When they're, like, proposing at the end, it's like, okay.
Stop.
Yeah. Like, stop. It's like, come on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really good that they put that spin on it. Like, no, like, I love you. Yes, I love you, and I want to be with you, but we're not getting engaged right now. We've known each other 8 weeks. So I thought that was, I like how they did that.
Me too.
Yeah.
It would have been too, like, cliche if she was like, yes. Yeah. It was more of a realistic happy ending.
And to me, that wouldn't have been in her character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I also thought, I was like, come on, Darius, man. Like, you know her. You should kind of know her. You're in love with her, you think. She doesn't want you to get on one knee and Nash from the
I think he was
the
in the
world.
Moment. He was in the moment.
Mm-hmm. I know. He's
probably
so
felt the pressure since, like, it was set up as a wedding. Yeah. To marry someone?
Yeah.
He definitely felt the pressure. He was very, very anxious throughout the entire thing. And we had Danae Benton Skype from New York a couple weeks, and we were like, come on, are you going to be back for the finale, maybe? Are you going to save the day?
What'd she say?
She was just like, she honestly, I thought, I was like, damn it, Ruby's not coming back. She was like, I don't know, like, she was very good at her poker
well
face.
Done today. Mm-hmm.
Via
well
Skype.
Done today. We love her.
Yes, I am a huge fan of hers as well. Let's talk a little bit about this Quinn and Chet and Tiffany. Weird.
Yeah, how uncomfortable is that?
Oh my gosh, I love it. I love Quinn's reaction too, of like, oh, you're sleeping with her? She goes, Rhett, she's so smart. I love how smart these ladies are. They're so manipulative and so smart. And I love that we don't have to, like, sit as an audience like, oh my god, they don't know something.
Oh, yeah.
They always know everything, and I love that they figure it out immediately. And then she tricks Tiffany. I love the scene where she's talking to Tiffany and Chantal being like, and he's going to, he chose you. And they're like, oh my god, such a good Quinn episode.
Yeah. And I like how, too, with that, like, she got this information about Chet and Tiffany, and I like how they always have a way of so calmly and, like, discreetly putting it in a conversation to tell the person that they know. It's, like, almost so uncomfortable yeah. for the other person because they don't say it right away. It's, like, they have a little conversation, all happy, and then they're, like, oh, and by the way, like, I know yeah. this is happening. And then the person's, like, what? So I love the way that they always do that. Funny. It's great.
Yeah, Quinn is just amazing at playing people. You know, she is a true boss ass bitch. And I just love how she was like, oh, wait, I can't wait to use this. Yeah. Not, I'm hurt. I love yeah. that.
Yeah, they're all chess yeah. pieces for her. She just has all of these chess pieces that she plays.
I mean, it was the same way with Rachel when she found out about Coleman and Hot Rachel. Their first thing is, oh, I'm just going to go completely mess with these girls now because I can and I
I'm
can
gonna
figure
ruin
out
your life.
Exactly.
That's cool.
It's not even, their first emotion isn't even to be sad or upset about it. It's, oh, I'm gonna go yeah. mess with them.
Yeah. So funny.
It's like messed up, but
make
awesome.
Super self on national television. Then it's yeah. like even.
Yeah. Yeah. Last week for our opening song, we played "Let It Go," you know, from Frozen.
Sure.
Because
sure.
we thought, you know,
she let it go.
How disturbing was that? How so disturbing. Sad.
But okay, just to touch on Hot Rachel very quickly. Okay, do I think she deserved to potentially die? No. But I wasn't super sad to see her poop her pants on national television. I didn't feel that bad.
I thought that was the greatest thing ever, especially because how much Quinn loved it. Like, Quinn was so happy.
You guys, that was one of the funniest scenes I've ever shot in my career, was Quinn in that bullpen getting that news. Because I had to walk in and I see what's going on, sorry. Oh my, the entire crew, cameraman, boomer, she was belly gut laughing the entire for 35 minutes straight. That every was time.
And it was so funny, especially when she even exits there and is like, see, he's laughing. Yeah. I'm not the only one that thinks this is so funny.
It was so funny. It just kept going on and on. And yeah. we were talking about that last week with Genevieve, how she just, her laugh is so infectious and contagious. Like, when she was laughing, I was, like, by myself just cracking up. Same. Because she just wouldn't stop. You think she's going to stop, and then it's a big, like, a breath yeah. to get more out. It was yeah. so funny.
Oh, I'll yeah. never forget looking up at our camera, and they're all, because, you know, we just roll and roll and roll, and Peter, directors, keep going, Constance, say this, say that. And, I mean, it's really hard to do to get in that place of genuine laughter, and she had the entire soundstage cracking up at this manufactured laugh. Wow.
Yeah, that was
an amazing
cat. Yeah, it was great.
Real quick, though, back to Quinn and Chet. What are we thinking? Did Chet give Tiffany this anklet specifically so
yes.
Quinn would see it on the monitors
yes.
to make her jealous?
Oh, I think he did.
I think so.
Once he knew John Booth was out of her life, he's yeah. like, oh, I can get back in it. Because Chet is adorable. I'm sorry. I love him.
I am all for Chet and Quinn. I love Chet and Quinn.
Really?
They're so depressing to me. Them as a couple is just like...
Yeah, I think it's such a toxic relationship.
Well, it is, but, like, every relationship on the show is pretty toxic.
Oh, for sure. But I don't know. I don't know if Chet did put the anklet on her just so she would get jealous. I don't know. I don't think... Well, one, I don't think he's, like, smart enough to think that through.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And two, I think, like, Tiffany's so hot and, like, gorgeous. Like, he's like, oh my god, I can get you. So he's giving her the ankle, he's pulling all his moves, well, his one move.
Exactly.
And then I think Quinn's like, you're such a loser. Like, I know you. Yeah.
She's like, that's your one move.
Yeah. I hope they don't get back together because I love Quinn. I love Chet as a, like, them separately.
I want her
to find someone that makes her happy. Yeah,
yeah, him as a character is very entertaining and great.
Oh, see, I love him, and I do want them to get back together, but the way that it happened this episode, she's like, I either am going to, like, kill myself or be with you.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, I don't want to be with you. And I don't want her to be with him in that way. I want her to realize that he's changed and he's on her side.
Yeah, I agree that I feel like... I don't even feel like they got back together. It was just sort of like their family unit got back together.
Yeah.
And, you know, sort of in that ending scene we'll talk about later. But yeah, to me, when Quinn has the feelings when Ruby comes in and then he's just there, I was like, this made my heart grow 3 sizes that day.
I'm with you. Agreed.
Yeah. I thought there was going to maybe be a little kiss. there. I don't know why. I just want thought kiss. I was going to.
Oh, that's very, you know, like,
thinking positively. Yeah. Thinking Coleman was good.
It's a little, like, delusional.
I'm too optimistic. Yeah.
It was really sweet and tender, though. That was a very...
It was. Yeah.
I love seeing Quinn like that, because you don't see that often. And we saw it again when she was telling Rachel how perfect she was.
Oh, my gosh. That scene killed me.
That was the most romantic scene of the season.
Right?
Yeah. That was a pretty special scene.
It was so good.
And as I say, the real romance is between Rachel and Quinn.
Absolutely. Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
Don't ever want to get in between those ladies. You know? Even if it seems appealing at the time, like, don't do it.
Wow. You could die.
Yeah.
Wow.
You could die.
A fella could get killed.
Yeah. Well, speaking of romance, I want to talk about some bromance, potentially.
Talk to me.
Yeah. Well, first of all, with Coleman and Jeremy, but I mean, you and Josh Kelly, really. Like, he told us you guys are BFFs.
He told you that?
Yeah. he told us he just loves you. Yeah. Yeah, he said the same thing. So, this episode, and I loved that video you posted on Twitter.
Yes.
Just like, you've waited forever to post it.
I loved that, too.
Yeah, first of all, what was in Josh's mouth? I just want to ask.
I think he had some grass. It was that mansion is in the middle of a, I don't know, 20 acres, and so the grass grows really long.
Josh, like, grew a beard. We interviewed him last season.
Yeah.
He grew a beard and then, like, turned into a lumberjack. He came here, and he was like, argh. And I was like, whoa, Josh, like, hey, so, you know, I love him. I think he's amazing. Yeah. And it was just funny. Now his beard is off, and I'm, like, interested how he's going to be.
I only knew him with a beard, and so he shaved it, and it was like, you know, a kid when his dad shaves off his beard, like, I don't, like, it's terrifying. I don't know who, I didn't know who he was. I didn't know. This is my friend in there. I had to, like, get to know him all over again.
Different person. What was, you know, how did you guys become friends on set? Do you have any fun stories with each other?
Our very first hangout was a dinner with Shiri, Constance, BJ, myself, and Josh, and some of the producers. And when Josh walked in, I stood up and I said, dude, huge fan of season one, as I'm sure you're hearing a lot of, but I'm also just fascinated by you as a person because you served in the armed forces and now you're an actor in Hollywood, and that just seems so incongruous, and I'm so fascinated by that, and I cannot wait to get to know you more.
I can't wait to be
and
your
so
friend.
And so we were just fast. I certainly said that to Freddie because he and Freddie are really good buds still. And so he would always FaceTime with Freddie. We had table reads or hanging out. And I'm kind of, my wife and I, we both have a crush on Freddie. So I'd be, hi, Freddie. I can't wait to meet you.
Is this a secret hot guys club? Because I saw an article the other day that you're also friends with Justin Hartley. And that you gave him the script for This Is Us that is hurting my young and the restless.
Wait, who told you this? Who told you this?
Justin said it in an interview with Michael Fairman.
Yes. I mean, we're just talking about good people is what we're talking about. Justin Hartley, good guy. Josh Kelly, great guy. But yes, that was...
Don't take Adam from me.
I won't. No, oh, no, Freddie Stroma.
Oh,
tremendous
guy. Adam Newman, who just...
Oh, Adam from the... Yeah, no. Wait till you see...
This Is Us.
Justin in this... Oh, my gosh. No. It's...
I hear it's just amazing, but...
For
just,
him, though, this part. He gets to be hot. He gets to be funny. He gets to be... He gets to do it all. Unreal, guys.
Unreal.
Well, let's also talk about how the relationship between Jeremy and Coleman developed very quickly. I love how he found him at the bar, drunk, and, you know,
I was so glad he was back.
It's like the douchebag bar, seriously, is down the street.
I loved that line. Yeah. But if you want a drink, there's a douchebag bar down the street.
Josh had such a hard time. It's like, really, we shot a bunch of different ones. That was the one that they used.
See, like, I can tell that there's so much that doesn't go on the air.
Oh my gosh.
And I just want to be a fly on the wall. I want to see it all. I want it to be I wish they could have maybe a web part of the website or something that they could just, like, show us some stuff.
That would be, it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Because there's gold there. There is so much gold. We actually thought this season was going to be funnier, even more funny than it actually is, just because of what we were. I mean, maybe that's just the way it works on set. We just crack each other up and have fun and have a blast. And the nature of this show, there's lots of improv opportunities. So, you know, we just try and make each other laugh and have fun and be silly. And so we're like, wow, this season, I guess we were just drinking our own Kool-Aid. This season's going to be really, it's going to be really, this is really funny.
We're funny.
Aren't we? Exactly. So yeah, so I'm just, never mind. I'm just
I can only imagine like in the control room, like all those lines, because that's when Quinn always says the most ridiculous things while they're watching the footage. And so I can only imagine there's so many funny.
And they just let her go. Yeah. We just roll on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's.
Oh my gosh.
Those scenes are great.
I love them. Yeah. So is she just riffing a lot of the time?
All the
time.
Yeah. I mean, with that stuff when she's watching the monitors going, guys, come on.
And then, like, pretending.
So, like a dry wind blowing through my vagina. Yes, that stuff.
The jerking herself off too. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, she just goes and goes and goes. Sometimes our directors will holler, you know, say this. And she, I mean, she's game for anything.
She's awesome. Yeah,
I mean, she said that so SIDS funny. Line. I was like, ooh, that was dark, but so dark it was funny.
Yeah. She said, she always says the very first episode of the first season, she watched that. She doesn't normally, you know, religiously watch to see how people are going to react, but that one she needed to know how people are going to react because she was terrified because this character is just awful and says horrible, horrible things and people are going to hate me. So she really tuned into the response and was floored that people were eating it up.
Yeah, it's like sometimes it's, you hear something and you're like, oh, they really just say that. But it is hilarious. Yeah.
It's
like, I shouldn't be laughing at this, but I am.
Yeah.
I don't mean to sound like a crazy feminist here, but as we know, there's lots of fun male characters on TV, like Ari Gold from Entourage, which of course Quinn was, or Constance was his counterpart kind of on that show as far as like the male Ari Gold. But I mean, do you think Jeremy Piven ever was like, oh, is this too much? Like, people aren't going to hate him. He was hilarious. He's a guy. He's like a douchey, kind of funny.
Ben, one of the best characters of all time, I think.
Yeah.
But I think they're paving the way, these women, to be more open, you know, for people to kind of accept women for just not always being nice and pretty.
Absolutely. I think they're definitely breaking out of the those kind of chains for sure. Because, not chains, I just feel like, yes, they're bringing a honest, like, they're just being human. Why do they have to be contained in this little box of leading ladies and you're with me. You're all with me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. We are so with you on that one.
Yeah, we're female
comedians.
Money, dick,
power, guys.
So, yeah.
Money, dick, power. I think a little misguided, I will say. I don't think it served them very well, that mantra.
No.
Well, I mean, it was just like in Scarface. I mean, and that was, to me, it's just like, okay, Scarface said this line basically replacing dick with pussy, luckily, but, you know, it's just... Why can't women say that? Why can't women
totally.
Scarface?
Totally.
I mean, you know, and that's, to me, is like, this show is like women being like the Wolf of Wall Street. These characters that men have always been able to play. But this is the first time we get to see two powerhouse women do it and do it well.
And I think, we love them for it.
And I think Madison's kind of getting up there with them, too. I think that she's going to grow so much more, too. She had like a really funny line when they were talking about all like messing up the wedding and stuff, and Quinn's saying all this stuff, and seems like so upset, and then all of a sudden she goes, oh, she has a dying grandma, like, I can do that. She has these moments where she's like, this is so bad, and you think that she might be questioning it, and all of a sudden she, like, gets all excited and is like, oh, I can be a part of this. And so I think she's gonna start being up with those two soon.
Oh, yeah. She's
Absolutely.
Got the crazy eyes.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
She sure does. So Jeremy, though, comes on Team Coleman.
Yeah.
For a second. And Hot Rachel is in the room, and they sneak on because, you know, Coleman, like, people still know him and think he's a showrunner. And then Jeremy gets some information that disturbs him about Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing acting on Josh Kelly's part, because you could really tell, even with the beard and, like, all the hair on his face, that, like, he, you know, was really surprised by the information about her rape when she was a child. And
I think his radar really went up, though, when she said, yeah, Rachel asked me to be go live on the show tonight. And he was like,
yeah,
he's like, what?
He knows her. He knows she doesn't do nothing is a coincidence. It's all on purpose. And so that got him. That sent his radar up. And then collecting all this information. Yeah, she was right. Yeah. He knew she was in full
Full mode.
Yeah.
Full Rachel mode.
Exactly. Yeah. Jinx.
Yeah, to me, I love the look on his face because it was like Jeremy finally understood Rachel in that moment is how mm-hmm. I felt it. And then he was like, oh, no, you know, she does these things for a reason. And so then he wanted to help her because he's been in love with this woman for a while. I mean, hasn't always showed it, but
that you yeah. could see the history on his face mm-hmm. in that scene. You could really see that history
yeah.
that they had together on his face.
And yeah. as though the dots yeah. are connecting, all of these dots that have been like in his brain, like oh, they don't connect. I'm so confused by her, but then all of a sudden it all clicked.
Yeah,
and I think he's been feeling a ton of guilt, obviously. And I read a really interesting article. Sarah Gertrude Shapiro was being interviewed, and she talked about how that scene when he beat her up, basically, she wanted it to be like who was wrong and who was right. Even if, you know, it's never okay for a man to raise his hand to a right. woman, it's still like, was that an accident? What was that? Because Jeremy right. has never been portrayed as this kind of guy. And I was so sad to see him I'm like, oh, he's going to be shunned forever. He's never going to be able to come back from that.
Yeah. We were talking about that a little bit before we came in here. We were saying, so, like, are you supposed to think that he's a good guy or a bad guy? Like, are you supposed to forgive him because of him coming back and helping them? It's a weird thing. And then I kind of took it as, I think that you're supposed to, like, forgive him in a sense because that's just, like, their messed up, crazy family and all of them do messed up things all the time.
It's kind of like a cat bringing, like, a dead mouse to the door, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a present.
Yeah, I love you. I don't remember who it was. Someone tweeted or commented, and they were like, Unreal is, like, recreating the Manson family. I mean, you know, kind of.
Dysfunction, for sure.
Yeah, dysfunction.
Remember, too, when Josh was here, he said that Jeremy has this huge redeeming moment, and I just think it's hysterical that his big redeeming moment is, like, killing someone.
I know.
Like, yeah. That's not a...
Or potentially killing someone.
That's only redeeming...
Exactly.
Like, two psycho people.
To kill two people.
Yeah.
Well, and to me, though, is like, this is why Unreal, like, is more like, say, Breaking Bad or Preacher, these anti-heroes, basically, because, you know, on those shows, is Walter White a good person? No, but we love him, so we're rooting for him. And in that show, I mean, most people, like, hated the good guys and liked the villains, or just same thing with Preacher, that whole cast of people, you know, they're kind of awful people, but we like them. And I feel like this is finally the female version of stuff like that.
Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm into it.
I'm a fan. Well, then we had some fun Jeremy Rachel moments, which I found really interesting when he just literally jumped out of a tree. And, you know, he had just, like, beat her up a few weeks ago. And she wasn't scared. She was just like, oh, God, you sad, broken puppy. Like, oh, what are you doing? Yeah. Like, she was not afraid of
him. She never wants Rachel to be a victim, ever. She doesn't. That's one of her main... tenets that she holds for Rachel. Rachel is not a victim. She will not be a victim. And so, yeah, that guides her pretty strongly throughout the season.
Yeah, she was calm. She's like, you can't be here.
Yeah.
Like, and he's not, like, very, like, inconspicuous, like, with that caveman-looking face and, like, jumping out of trees. I'm like, someone's gonna see you.
Well, I mean, it is true. I think that, in a way, she might have... Things went really downhill after all that happened, and she got, you know, kooky and crazy. No, not crazy. I'm not going to say that. Sorry. She just, you know, lost it a bit, but I think she may feel bad for Jeremy, too, at the end of the day after all of this. And what I really want to hear all of your opinions on is after she went to Rachel, or after Rachel went to Quinn and said, you know, this is going to be about over. Do you know? And Quinn said, no, you are a producer. Produce something. Do something about this.
She produced Joe.
And do you think she went and produced Jeremy?
100%.
Absolutely.
Yep. I thought that right when she went into the trailer because she was saying all this stuff and she knows him. She knows all the right things to say. And that's exactly what I thought. And when she left, I knew that he was going to do something.
Oh, yeah. You could see it on his face. He's like, I'll fix it.
Yeah.
Like, Jeremy. He did, essentially.
And she did play the whole, like, no, you can't. There's nothing. She, like, was kind of doing reverse psychology on him.
Yeah, she's manipulative.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, and to me, with Jeremy, you know he wouldn't have thought of that on his own. I mean, and it's no offense to Jeremy, but, you know, he's... sadly seen as more of at least a bit more moral than them in most situations. But yeah, this was so Rachel just trying to work him, and especially after what he just found out had happened to her when she was younger. He was a bit vulnerable because this is someone he loves, and you know, I feel that Rachel does love Jeremy, and I feel that they'll get back together eventually, but I feel that this will redeem him in her eyes.
I think yeah. Jeremy is her chat.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Well, see, oh, it's just depressing if they end
you
up.
Yeah. Were, when you came in the season, I was like, oh, that's her chat. You know,
they wanted,
is her chat.
They wanted Coleman... During the audition phase of this, and my chemistry reads and everything, what they really, really wanted was to feel like this is Rachel's, like, this is her best, like, this is the best option she will ever have. Nice, caring guy, really, like, great pedigree, great momentum career-wise. If there was a boat to jump on, it's this one. They're going to ride off into the sunset together.
Like Quinn's Booth.
Yeah, exactly. You know? That's what I was going to say.
Like Chet and Jeremy are equivalent in their, like, their relationships as, like, I feel like Coleman and Booth are.
Yeah,
they could have gone. They could have. Could they have the potential.
Yeah, yeah.
To,
I agree with
yeah.
that. I liked Booth so much. Well, yeah.
Yeah,
more.
But he's Mr. Fantastic.
Mr. Yo, and speaking of man crush, oh, Yo,
I think you have a crush on everyone
yeah.
on the show.
Yeah, I do. I do. I do.
That's okay. We all do.
No,
yeah. It's fine.
Well, I mean, I kind of did. I wanted him to come out somehow that he was bad. So Quinn's heart wouldn't be... She'd be like, oh, it's fine. I mean, I shouldn't have had babies with him anyways. He's a psycho.
No, he seemed all good.
It was all on her. It was all on her.
Well, and I actually liked that, though, because it was Quinn's choice. And that's what she said. She didn't want to be someone's disappointment. Just get out of her life. And at least it kept her with the power. Just like with, you know, Rachel and Jeremy to an extent. Rachel still wound up with all the power.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, that's like the opposite of what your therapist would ask you to do. They're like, you should be vulnerable. She's like, nope, no vulnerability. I'm not going to fail this guy. Nope, bye.
Because
there's such a sad scene watching her cry as soon as she left and freak out. That killed me.
It's devastating.
No.
It was devastating.
It was very sad, and I love being able to, because it's, you know, different situations, but Quinn is emoting what's going on in her life onto the show, and at the end of the day, I think that is what tends to happen, but as we said, the show has a happy ending. Everlasting does.
I was like, wait, which show here?
Depends on who you're.
I think it damn near broke Quinn's heart, though, to see that people actually find true love, right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
No. Yeah, as I tweeted
she'll
at that
never
moment.
Have it.
It was beautiful, and it was kind of funny to see Tiffany and Chantal.
Yeah. Oh, that was hilarious. Yeah. And then they're at the interviews after the wedding. They're like, he played us the whole time. They're so funny together.
Mm-hmm. I know. They are funny together. I could see them being like co-bachelorettes next season.
Love that. Yeah, that would be funny, because I definitely predict Tiffany will be back in some capacity, because they didn't really wrap that
and
up.
And with Chet, yeah.
I think Chantal's so funny. Her character, I think, is hysterical, and I'd love to see more of her.
Yeah, she was the comic relief, and you didn't see that, especially when her first thing is, oh, her fiancé died. You're like, this is going to be a sad one. And then she wound up getting ashes all in Darius' face.
Dead guy in my mouth.
Oh, BJ Britz, we heard from other guests that a lot of those were just his, you know, one-liners that he was...
Pump your brakes.
Yeah, pump the
pump your brakes.
That was
pump your brakes. Pump your brakes. Another one where the entire field at that point, it wasn't a room, it was a field. Everyone's just...
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Pump your brake. Pump your brake. Pump your brakes. Pump your brakes.
It was my favorite, actually. One of my favorite parts of the season. And, yeah, then basically Coleman and Hot Rachel are holding hands, going off into the sunset.
Like Thelma and Louise.
After I drop the mic with... Yeah. After Coleman drops the mic with Rachel.
With Rachel, and you said you win.
Because what was their plan? What was their plan? You can't keep...
Like, what are you going to do?
That's
kill me?
I know. I honestly thought that, like, that was going to be upset. I was like, and then, like... Yeah, really, we will.
Kill me? Okay, Rachel. Sure.
Then she stabs you.
No, she doesn't like to be messy. She'll have someone do her work.
Jeremy.
Yeah.
Man.
And he did.
The whole time they showed the car, they just kept going back to the car. And those long, lingering shots of cars driving, they make me uneasy in any show.
Oh, yeah.
So I just knew... I knew something bad was happening.
Well, do you want to know what I love? And maybe this is me as a writer, like, finding weird things in the story. But from the first episode when you came on, or was it the first episode of the season you came on? Or the second.
Second.
Yeah, it was the second. They made a big thing about the car they were giving you.
Big thing.
Mm-hmm. Huge thing. And it had the everlasting plates. And then even this time, Rachel was like, the only reason you're keeping that car is because nobody else wants it. It was like, the car, the car, the car. And that was throughout the whole season.
Yeah.
You were driving it, showing it off. And then that's what could have potentially killed you.
Mm-hmm.
I just love how you kept driving it after Jeremy peed on it. Like,
there's car washes for a reason.
Yeah, I know. But I'm like, was the window down? I don't know.
It is such a silly gift, though. There were so many improv scenes that Shiri and I did of, like, I was like, you know what? What if I hate this car? What if I think, my family's so wealthy? Like, this is $500,000? This is stupid. I want, like, a 66 Ferrari. That's like a an old Aston. That's a classy car. No. I don't want the McLaren.
Well, especially because you're supposed to be like this eco guy wanting to do
exactly work. Like they should. I could feed an entire country in Africa for this. Let me sell this. Yeah. And exactly.
But as we did learn,
but they
this
used
episode,
it as a device. You
know. They did use it as a device, but we did learn this episode that you
are a fraud.
Are a big old like
sort of
humanitarian fraud.
But maybe you did it for the greater purpose of the message that's getting across.
Thank you.
Just like everlasting.
That's what I chose to believe.
Yes.
Hero in my own story. Yeah. That's what I chose to believe.
Well, these 10 episodes have been absolutely amazing. Before we wrap up, let's ask a couple questions.
No, we're not wrapping. Mm. We're just going to talk about this forever.
This is all night.
Yeah. I wish I could, honestly.
I could go back through the whole first season with you guys. Yeah. Yeah. Second season is different because I'm in it. But let's talk about the whole first season.
I get a little riled up. I can talk.
Oh my gosh. I know. Sorry, guys. We're going to be here for a while.
We will do that to you.
Okay, so one of my questions, and I know a lot of fans had this question, is a favorite moment on set that you have had this season, whether it be funny or just kind of like an aha moment for you for acting?
Wow. Watching Constance's laugh, that was pretty spectacular because that truly is one of the hardest things to do. And watching Shiri direct. While giving a dynamo performance, that was mind blowing.
Did you like her telling you what to do?
I loved it. Yeah. I treated her like my personal director the entire season. I would go up every scene. I go, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Any thoughts? Any idea? Yeah, try that maybe. Okay, I will. Great. And she'd do the same thing with me. What do you think? Should I? Yeah, I don't know. Try that. That'd be great. Okay. Yeah. But I would always go up because she knows the show so well. This is their world. Tell me, what do you think? I love her strong opinions on things.
All right, what about you guys?
What would you say, like, emotionally for you, the scene-wise, was, like, hardest to get into?
The hardest scene, I think, to shoot was the interview scene when she's drugged up. We talked at length about that. Producers, director, Shiri, we all had went through a lot of rewrites, a lot of talking about it. Like, how can I make me believe this? How can I... Shiri finally just said, dude, just what if you just go for it? Just go for it like you're not the nice guy. Because at this point, it was still like, I think I'm nice, so why am I doing this? So she was like, just try when we're like, you're not, like, you're just a dick.
And?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. You did it.
So I went for it. And so, yeah, but that was really, really tricky to figure out that scene. And we did a lot of versions of it.
Well, it worked.
Yeah.
It worked.
Definitely. Thanks.
Liked it.
Thanks.
What was your favorite episode to shoot this season?
I really had fun with Shiri's episode, just for the aforementioned experience of being able to watch her direct and act at the same time. And I just think it was a spectacular episode, and what she did with it from what was on paper to what she created. I really enjoy, and I loved that location down at the farmhouse. It was a lot of fun. Gosh, there were some good ones though. 7 was really good too. The pullover, that was pretty intense. Oh, it's really hard. I can't. That's an impossible. I'm sorry. Impossible question. Next question.
If you were running this show, what would you want for Coleman after this? If per se he does survive the car accident.
Wow, I never thought about that. I feel like I would want Coleman to come back guns a-blazing. And just, you know, no pretense at all, and just out for, just committed to taking these people down. That would be fun for me, right?
That would be.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. What do you think? What do you want for Coleman?
I hope he's alive.
I hope he has a brain injury.
Thanks. You hope he has a brain injury. Well, so he's there, but he doesn't talk.
I heard about that too.
To not remember anything. I want him to be so confused.
He just walks around like, hi, Coleman Wasserman. Hi, nice to meet you.
I think it'd be cool if he like came back, but they all thought that he was like done, or, you know, and he is like secretly kind of conniving. And then like at the end of the next season, he comes back and had this huge like plan. Like in a, like a lair,
and
you know?
That'd
like,
be fun.
Yeah. It has to be in a lair.
Is he playing piano or is that a keyboard? What was that?
Yeah, because his face got halfway burnt off.
Playing Chopin.
But yeah, and as the soap watcher, I'm like, that's a great idea. Abby, I'm like, oh my God.
Face burnt off playing Chopin.
I'm like getting little Pretty Little Liars with it.
See, I actually, I randomly said to a coworker today that watches Unreal, because it was the only person at work I could like talk about it with, because she was really into it too. And I said, I was like, how funny would it be next season if Coleman and Hot Rachel came back as, like, scary ghosts? And she was like, no,
that's
I don't
not
think
the
so.
Show.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, we've all had amazing interactions about the show, all the fans this season, so we really appreciate it. Let's get into some quick predictions for next season, because we know there will be one.
There will be one.
There will be another season.
At least one more.
Oh, yeah. I meant, there, of course there'll be predictions. There'll be at least four here.
Yeah. So I think that Coleman will be alive, and I think he's going to have some sort of brain injury. That's I'm just hoping for that, so I'm going to predict it. No offense.
It's okay.
I also think they're finally going to do the Bachelorette thing.
Yeah, I think there'll be a girl suitor for sure, but I think Coleman's going to be alive, but I think he's going to be okay. But I think that he's going to have trouble proving what he's trying to say, because definitely since Rachel has, they have the thing that he was like a fraud with his documentary, because now I think Hot Rachel's dead. So who else is going to, Jeremy's not going to help him out. So I think he'll try, but he'll have no success in doing that. But I think he's going to like try until he can't try anymore. As for the rest, I'm glad that the four crew, I love how they ended it the same way they ended season one with Quinn and Rachel laying on the chairs. I love how they did it with Chet and Jeremy.
Yeah.
Because I think they're all going to kind of work together and be a team, like the family's back together.
Yeah, I do see that the family's back together and they'll be a team. And I actually think that Tiffany will be the Bachelorette, just because her story's not done. And for Coleman, I do think he'll be in a coma for a while, but just because I said I'm a soap watcher and they do that. But
totally show your colors there.
Yes. And
trapped in a well. Yeah. I don't know why he's in a well, but he's down a well.
That was Justin's soap.
But maybe was it? An evil twin, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Coleman could have an evil twin, but I feel like he's going to find the producer, and I can't remember her name from season one that killed Mary.
Shia.
Yeah, no. Shia. Yeah. I think he'll, if he gets out of his coma, he'll go
track
find
her.
Down. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Because
she'll
have the goods.
That's a great idea.
Forgot about her.
Yeah. The writers need to watch this because I think that would be a great idea. We had Aileen on last year, Elsmar, who plays Shia, and she was amazing. So I would love to see her back. So I've read all these articles that, you know, some of the writers are like, oh, yeah, Coleman was killed.
Yeah.
But I don't trust anything
it's too
they
easy.
Say.
Yeah. I feel like it's too easy if he died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would love the thing that, you know, he comes back like, oh, I'm wounded. There's something wrong with me. No, I'm hurt. But he's just like, like, maybe he'll even, like, pretend to be in a wheelchair or something and, like, be walking around and just be like, you know.
You guys are so fun. You guys, this is great. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I just, you know, I'm sorry, were you finished?
No,
keep
I was
going.
Just like, I'm sorry, yeah, we're a little weird, but it's what we think about.
Like a Kaiser Soze in a wheelchair sort of thing. That's
oh, yeah,
fun.
That would be awesome.
Wheelchair, that's
great ideas. I honestly, I'm kind of boring. I thought, oh, he's dead. I don't know. I guess, honestly, I don't imagine them wanting to go through, like, the legalities, like all that. I don't know. I feel like they'll want a clean break. I don't know. This is based on nothing other than, you know, my imagination of it. Because really, nobody knows what season three is going to be right now. I don't know. I just don't think. I don't know. I also don't think there will be a female suitor.
You don't
really?
A bachelor. I don't think they'll do that. Just because I think it's more interesting to watch females
interact.
Compete. True. Guys are just boring.
That's true.
Guys
how
are boring.
I feel about the real like Bachelorette. Because it's like, nah, and then when it's the Bachelor season, like all these crazy girls.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, see, making Hot Rachel shit her pants this season will be like every week. for the guys. Yeah. They'll just be like making themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well,
and they could do the gay storyline where they suspect two guys are, you know, making out with each other like they did on. I don't watch that, but I remember seeing previews about something like that. I don't know.
They could swing it in a way. But that'd be fun. Hopefully we don't have to wait too long, even though I feel like we'll have to wait a while for season three.
Only 10 episodes. But guys, those of you, you're watching this 6 months from now, it's okay. Still comment. Mm. We're probably still going to want to talk about it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
I'm still mad about Lost. If you guys want to talk about that.
Talk to her about comic books, like whatever. It's fine. You can just talk to me about your feelings and probably these ladies too.
All about your feelings.
Yeah. And thank you so much, Michael.
Oh my gosh. Thank you guys.
Thank you for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for being such fans of the show.
Sorry we're such weirdos.
I love it. No one's weird here. No one's weird.
Michael, where can everyone find you online to follow you and stuff?
I'm at Rady Michael on Twitter and Michael J. Rady on Instagram.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I'm Renee Ariel, and you can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at Renee Ariel.
I'm Abby Vega. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at underscore Abby Vega.
And I'm Lucretia Lyons. You guys can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
And don't forget, of course, to follow AfterBuzz TV at AfterBuzz TV on all social media platforms, and me, Sam Davidson, at SamD43, Twitter and Instagram. Online at samdavidsonentertainment.com. And since this is the last episode of the season, you can follow me on Snapchat now. That is samdavidson25 if you want to see me with weird filters on my face. We will see you next season, and please continue to talk to us if you have thoughts about the show. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Goodbye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.